Welcome to another episode of the Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Medicine podcast, the world's longest running medical podcast. And here I've got Dr. Brendel, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
He's presented a paper here at the Society of Nuclear Medicine meeting in Anaheim, and it was a very interesting paper because it covers an area that hasn't been done very well before. Perhaps we can start by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm a nuclear medicine physician at the Department of Nuclear Medicine in Munich. I work there since now 8 years, and yes, my focus is on neurodegenerative disorders, and focus at the moment is definitely tau PET imaging. And yes, so tau PET, of course, is interesting not only in AD but also in non-AD taupathies, and yes, that's why we explored PSP for using a new second generation tau ligand.
Right, so perhaps you could explain what is PSP?
Yes, PSP is an atypical Parkinsonian syndrome. It's characterized by early postural instability and falls. And from the histopathology, it's a 4-hour tauopathy. So it's tau with four repeats isoform. And that's located primarily in the basal ganglia and the midbrain, which also causes these symptoms the patients have. So they have also a strong impairment of the volitional eye movements. So that's why they have they do not really good perform for viewing things and have a limitation of their saccades.
Right, and it does lead on to dementia as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it has some parts, at least some patients suffer also from dementia then, and it's a very fast neurodegeneration that occurs mostly in the mid of the 60s, and it's leading to death in approximately 8 years after symptom onset. So the patients really suffer from this disease.
Right. Now, so the symptoms are somewhat like Parkinson's disease, but it's not the same as Parkinson's disease. How do they normally tell the difference between that and Parkinson's disease or Lewy body disease?
Yeah, so the first, it's not so easy to differentiate it, so that's also a problem for PSP. So normally most patients get diagnosed as a PD first, and then after some years they get some more symptoms than just the problem of walking and all that stuff. So they suffer from dementia, they suffer from the volitional eye movement impairment, and they fall very often, and that's, yeah, of course, causing other problems like broken legs and all these things. And so after some years, then often PSP gets then diagnosed additionally to the PD what was diagnosed before.
But the only real way of properly diagnosing is after death, by doing looking at the tissue itself.
Yes. So if the disease is already established, then the clinicians have a pretty good accuracy on the diagnosis. So after 4 or 5 years of after symptom onset, they predict PSP very well in autopsy then. However, there is the biggest problem is in the first years of,
right,
of the disease.
So the traditional methods of diagnosing this with imaging, you said it's a tauopathy, so do have all the tau traces that we've used before, have they worked?
Yeah, so before it was in the new classifications, it was implemented a midbrain atrophy and hypometabolism in the midbrain and FDG PET. So these two imaging modalities already work for PSP, but there has not so much work been done with tau tracers.
Right, and the tau tracers that we've got on the market at the moment or being used at the moment, AV1451, and there was a Japanese compound,
yeah, the
THK. Those compounds are more specific for Alzheimer's disease than PSP.
Yeah, actually, we also did a study in PSP with the THK compound, and of course, so interestingly, we were able to discriminate PSP from healthy controls pretty well. However, it was clearly shown that the signal we got was not tau, but it was the MAO-B elevation most likely deriving from astrocytosis in these patients.
So what you really saw was off-target binding.
Yeah, sure. So we had off-target binding that nicely discriminated the patients, but of course we are not specific with this method. It would definitely help for differential diagnosis, I think, because of the regional distribution of the tracer. However, if you want to do therapy studies with anti-tau radiopharmaceuticals or pharmaceuticals, anti-tau therapies, so you have a problem there because you can't prove that it's really tau in the patient.
And we've got a number of anti-tau therapies that are being trialed at the moment actually to treat Alzheimer's disease, haven't we?
Sure, yes, and some of them will likely be also available maybe for our tauopathy, and yes, that's why we should definitely have a clear statement if it's tau in the patient or not.
Right. So you used a different tracer. What was that tracer?
So the new ligand is a PI2620 from Life Molecular Imaging, and so this tracer has got rid of these off-target bindings. So they were clearly able to show that this has not any monoamino oxidase off-target binding any longer, and that's why we thought, okay, this could be a good tracer to use it also in PSP then.
Okay, so what did you find out?
So we started to evaluate the scans after patients got to our clinical department, and in the first patients we clearly saw an elevated signal in the basal ganglia, so especially in the globus pallidus, and that's why we then had some examinations of brain slices. So we tried first to look if it's really a signal deriving from tau there, and so the autoradiography was clearly positive by using this ligand. We could block it with cold ligand, and we did not see any signal in healthy controls. So that was what made us very confident that it's really the tau in the basal ganglia that we image by the binding of PI2620. And we also had, in collaboration with Life Molecular, they did some microarteriography, and they were also able to prove that it's really co-localized PI26 binding and tau immunohistochemistry. So that was what made us even more confident that it's working as a really tau tracer in PSP.
Right, so this means that we'll be able to diagnose this disease more definitively and perhaps in the future have a therapy for it.
Yeah, so we evaluated now 48 cases with PSP, and we had 80% of them were clearly tau positive with quantitative and visual methods. And the even more good thing is that we did only have one disease control and no healthy control that had any signal in binding of these tracers. Because so for the anti-tau treatment, it would be very helpful to have a specific tracer, so to rule out cases that don't have any tau in their brain, because there the therapy will not work.
Right, and of course, so that means that you're really going to, and you're also going to target the ones that have got a high enough level of tau in them to be actually useful in the therapy. So you may be 80%, not 100% positive, but perhaps that other 20% wouldn't be suitable for therapy anyway.
Yeah, so maybe they don't have we don't have histopathology of them, of course, until now, but so we don't know if they really have tau in the brain in the end then, or if they are really negative. So.
Right.
This will, of course, be that what needs to be investigated in future for these cases.
Right. So are these people going to be donating their brains and following up?
Yeah. So we hope that we will at least get some of their brains that they will donate to our brain bank in Munich and Leipzig and Cologne. And so then we can maybe have a good validation of the tracer as well.
Right. So this is a fairly rare disease, but it's an important disease to actually manage, isn't it?
Yes. And so what I got to know in the last couple of years was that PSP is not so low frequent as most of the people think. So from our histopathology department, they told us it's the third common after AD and FTD.
Oh, really?
Neurodegenerative disorder. So maybe because it's also underdiagnosed in the clinical routine.
Okay, well, this might help with it being underdiagnosed.
Yeah,
because it's now pretty common to get tau imaging and amyloid imaging around, particularly in research.
Yeah, and we also experienced this with one of our cases. So we had a pretty interesting case. He was first diagnosed as an probable AD. Then they wanted to put him into an anti-amyloid therapy study, and the screening scan was negative then.
Right, so in these subjects, the amyloid scan is negative, right?
Yes, amyloid. The amyloid scan is negative. Interestingly, with this case, we performed a PI2620 tau PET, and we observed a pattern that looked so similar to the PSP cases we experienced before, and then we sent this patient to the movement disorders specialty center, and they clearly diagnosed the PSP with frontal dominant signs then.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Great research. So what else would you like to add? What else can you tell us about where you're going next or what's happening next?
Yes, so we will definitely for this moment, it's just an evaluation of scans that we performed at the clinical department. And yes, this tracer, of course, should be evaluated in a prospective trial so that we can generate enough evidence to use it really then in clinical routine.
Okay. So where can people find out a bit more about your work?
Yeah, so we will hopefully publish this first data soon, and yes, then it should appear online.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much. And are you enjoying the meeting?
Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
Yeah, Anaheim is a nice city, and so we have a good time here.
All right. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you, and thanks for being on the podcast.